I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you are sitting on the starting grid of, well, a professional race. You're completely strapped in.
Right.
The engines around you are just deafening. You've got that smell of hot rubber, high-octane fuel bleeding right through your helmet vents. And, sitting right there, the difference between starting up in pole position and being buried back in the third row is, just a few hundredths of a second.
Just a fraction of the blink of an eye, really.
Exactly. A fraction of a blink. So put yourself in the shoes of the team principal running that car. How do you find that time? Especially when your budget, massive as it might be, is still completely finite. Where do you spend your dollars to find those, like, microscopic advantages?
It really is the ultimate puzzle in modern motorsport.
Yeah.
Because in professional racing, and especially in open wheel racing, every single fraction of a second you try to shave off comes with just this agonizingly high price tag.
Oh, for sure.
At a certain point, you can't just buy a better engine part, You have to optimize the human being who is actually behind the wheel. And to do that, teams usually just, open up their checkbooks and buy these massive multi-million dollar simulator rigs. But today, we're jumping into this fascinating engineering breakdown. It's called the Precision Edge, Why Pro Teams Choose Simcraft Engineering.
It's a great source.
It really is. And the mission of this deep dive today is to explore this massive kind of quiet revolution happening right now in pro racing, because it turns out those giant factory-built OEM simulators are actually teaching drivers the wrong muscle memory.
Yeah, completely wrong physical sensation even.
Yeah, so pro teams are realizing this, and they're abandoning those behemoths for a system called the SimCraft Apex 6 GT, which, by the way, costs a fraction of the price.
Okay, let's unpack this because, wait a minute. If these multi-million dollar rigs are actively bad for a driver, why have Formula One and IndyCar teams been spending tens of millions on them for like the last decade? I mean, are some of the smartest engineers in the world just oblivious?
What's fascinating here is that they aren't oblivious, not at all, but they were kind of trapped by this deeply held industry assumption.
What assumption?
Well, for a very long time, the racing world collectively agreed that high-end driver development had to be locked behind seven-figure hardware. It just had to be.
Like more expensive automatically equals better.
Exactly. And that came from the fact that early racing simulators basically borrowed their tech from aviation.
Oh, like flight simulators.
Right, they took massive flight simulators and just tried to adapt them for cars. But a commercial airplane and an open-wheel race car, they move in entirely different ways.
Yeah, totally different physics.
So to think that a smaller, exponentially more affordable system like the SimCraft is actually outperforming these legacy giants on a foundational physics level, no less, it's a massive disruption. It challenges everything these teams thought they knew about prep.
So let's get into the mechanics of why that fails,
Yep.
because the source material points out that most of these giant OEM movers are built on something called hexapod technology,
Right, hexapods.
which sounds incredibly advanced, but you're saying it's fundamentally the wrong tool for the job. So how does a hexapod actually work, and why is it failing the drivers?
So imagine a single large platform, right?
Okay.
On top of that platform is the driver's seat, the steering wheel, the pedals, everything. And beneath that platform are six robotic legs or actuators anchored to the floor.
Okay, got the visual.
When the simulator needs to move, those six legs all push and pull against that one shared platform. That's a hexapod architecture.
Okay, so six legs moving one flat surface.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, that doesn't sound terrible.
On paper, no, it sounds fine. But the mechanical reality is that because all six legs share the exact same platform, the degrees of freedom have to negotiate with each other.
Negotiate, what do you mean?
Well, if you hit the brakes and turn hard left at the exact same time, the legs responsible for tilting you forward have to compromise with the legs trying to push you sideways.
Oh, I see.
The movements blend together. They literally work against each other. The text describes it as the body feeling a, quote, smeared averaged version of motion.
A smeared version of motion.
Yeah.
So if I'm driving a real car and I slam on the brakes, I get this very sharp, distinct, violent throw forward against my seatbelts, right?
Correct.
But in a hexapod, because the legs are trying to do like three different math equations at once,
Yeah.
that feeling gets muddy.
Precisely. It's not crisp. It is not what a highly tuned racing chassis does. A real race car communicates instantly through the suspension right to the driver's spine.
Right.
A hexapod gives you this mushy, delayed approximation. And this is where we run into what I call the million-dollar muscle memory problem.
Yeah, because if you're a pro driver, you aren't actively thinking, oh, the car is slipping, I should probably turn the wheel. You're relying entirely on instinct. It's pure reflex.
Muscle memory is absolutely everything in racing. You react to the physical cues before your conscious brain even processes the thought.
Yeah, there's no time to think.
Exactly. So if you're doing hundreds of laps in a multi-million dollar hexapod simulator, and it is consistently feeding your body a delayed, smeared version of reality.
Your body is learning the wrong lesson.
It is actively learning false instincts.
You're building reflexes for a car that literally doesn't exist in the real world. It's, you know, it's like training for a marathon on a treadmill that just randomly tilts sideways.
That's a great analogy.
I mean, you're getting a workout, sure, your heart rate is up, but your body is learning completely the wrong balance. Which makes me wonder, isn't a bad simulator actually worse than just sitting in a static, non-moving chair in the shop?
Yeah.
Like, at least a static chair isn't actively lying to your nervous system.
The engineers evaluating these platforms have come to that exact conclusion. A static seat is safe. It forces you to rely purely on visual and auditory cues without corrupting your physical instincts at all.
Oh, wow.
But a flawed motion simulator actively teaches you false cues. Think about the cost of that. Over an off-season, you build all these reflexes in the shop that you then have to actively fight and unlearn the second you get on the real asphalt.
That's insane.
It turns these incredibly expensive OEM machines into exactly what the source calls them, expensive distractions.
That has to be a terrifying realization for a team principal who just, you know, wrote a check for $2 million.
Absolutely terrifying.
So if the hexapod, this flight simulator leftover, is fundamentally flawed for racing, how does SimCraft actually solve the physics problem? Because they couldn't just build a better hexapod.
No, they couldn't.
They had to completely rethink how a human being experiences motion, right?
They threw out the shared platform entirely, just scrapped it. The SimCraft Apex 6 GT uses a center of mass motion architecture. It features independent 6 degrees of freedom, or 6DOF as it's called.
Let's break down those 6 degrees, because I want you listening to really feel what we're talking about here.
Sure. So the 6 degrees are roll, pitch, yaw, surge, sway, and heave.
Okay, break those down for us.
Roll is leaning side to side. Pitch is diving forward or tilting back. Yaw is rotating left or right, like, you know, spinning like a top.
Right.
Surge is that violent forward and backward acceleration or braking. Sway is lateral, sliding side to side, and heave is moving straight up and down, like if you hit a massive bump on the track.
And the crucial word you used just there was independent.
Yes, independent. In the Apex 6 GT, each of those six movements operates completely independently of the others. There is no shared platform averaging out the math.
So if you break and turn.
If you break and turn, the surge mechanism throws you forward, and the sway mechanism pulls you sideways simultaneously without interfering with each other at all. This is precisely how a real car chassis behaves under the extreme loads of a racetrack. And crucially, the platform physically moves the seat around the driver's true center of mass, usually pivoting right around the chest or solar plexus.
So instead of being shoved from the bottom up, like you're sitting on a bucking Bronco or something, the rig is rotating you from your core.
Exactly. The physical cues line up perfectly with a real vehicle's geometry. It doesn't feel like you're being shoved around by a machine. It just feels like you are driving.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me. So the seat is moving perfectly, and my body is rotating around its center of mass. But what happens to my eyes?
Ah, the visual component.
Right, because if my body's being thrown forward under heavy braking, but the computer monitors showing the track are bolted to the floor in front of me, aren't my eyes looking at a stationary horizon while my inner ear thinks I'm diving into a corner? Doesn't that make you sick? I feel like my brain would just completely freak out.
You've identified the exact sensory conflict that plagues almost every legacy OEM system out there. Yes. When you have fixed monitors, your eyes are locked onto a stationary horizon. But your vestibular system, your inner ear, is screaming that your body is being thrown around.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It is. That mismatch is the classic recipe for intense motion sickness and severe physical fatigue. The driver gets out after 20 minutes completely exhausted, and it's not from physical exertion, it's from sensory overload.
So how does SimCraft bypass the nausea? Do they just give you a bucket?
No, no bucket needed. They achieve what's known in engineering as rigid body motion.
Rigid body motion, okay.
Right. In the Apex 6 GT, the screens, the steering wheel, the pedals, and the seat are all part of one single cohesive cockpit. When the car dives into a braking zone, the entire environment dives with you. The monitors physically tilt forward as your body tilts forward.
Oh, that makes total sense. So your vision and your physical motion are in perfect agreement.
Exactly.
You aren't constantly recalibrating your spatial awareness because the horizon moves relative to your head, just like it actually does in a real car.
Drivers report it as the most accurate, realistic motion they have ever experienced. There's no sensory conflict. You can do a 4-hour stint in the simulator and walk away feeling perfectly fine.
All right, so on a purely physiological level, the physics are superior. It's not smearing the motion, it's not corrupting your muscle memory, and it's not making you sick.
Right.
Now, normally, when you find a piece of hardware that is just fundamentally better engineered than its competitors, you expect it to carry an astronomical price tag.
Sure. Usually, better physics means a bigger invoice.
Exactly.
Right.
But the financial logic in this deep dive is completely inverted. Let's look at the staggering math of track time versus sim time.
The economics of this shift are just as disruptive as the physics, honestly. To really put this in perspective, the source material breaks down the operational cost of a single INDY NXT season. We are looking at roughly $1.8
million. $1.8 million to run one car for one season. That is massive.
Yes. And when you strip away the logistics and break that down to actual on-circuit running time, the burn rate is mind-boggling.
Break that down for us.
You have to factor in sets of consumable tires that only last maybe 40 minutes, the racing fuel, the heavy transport haulers to get to the track, the sheer number of highly paid crew hours.
Right.
And of course, the very real physical risk to a six-figure chassis every single time it leaves the garage.
Yeah.
When you add all that up, 1 hour of real track time costs a team over $54,000.
Over 54 grand for 60 minutes of practice.
Yes.
When you visualize that, it really frames why real seat time is the single most expensive, scarce resource in professional racing. I mean, teams literally cannot buy enough of it because the rules limit testing days.
Right, exactly. You're restricted.
And even when they can test, the costs are prohibitive. So every single lap a driver can bank in the shop is a lap the team isn't bleeding cash for on the track.
And against that $54,000 an hour burn rate, the return on investment for the SimCraft system becomes undeniable. The Apex 6 GT Elite literally pays for itself in just 3 hours of equivalent seat time.
Wait, 3 hours? You run it for one morning session before lunch, and it has completely justified its existence on the balance sheet.
Exactly. After those first 3 hours, as the text notes, unlimited, repeatable practice becomes a fixed cost.
Wow.
If your driver struggles with turn 4 at Indianapolis and they want to run it 200 times on a Tuesday night, it doesn't cost the team an extra dime in tires, fuel, or track rental.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you're talking about a complete restructuring of a race team's workflow. Because the source material hits us with this crazy acquisition ratio.
It really does.
For the price of a single 7-figure OEM system, which, again, we've established teaches bad muscle memory, a team can afford to equip up to 10 people with individual Apex 6 GT Elite units. 10-1.
This is the paradigm shift. Historically, the entire racing program, you know, the primary driver, the backup driver, the race engineers, the mechanics, they all had to queue up.
Like waiting in line for an amusement park ride?
Basically, yeah. They had this massive bottleneck where everyone was waiting for their 15-minute window in the one giant shared multi-million dollar motion simulator.
But at a 10-1 ratio, you completely decentralize the whole process.
Precisely. You shift to a parallel workflow. You can have a rig dedicated exclusively to the driver for muscle memory. You can have a second rig across the shop dedicated entirely to the engineers to test ride heights and damper settings. You eliminate the bottleneck entirely.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure.
Putting 10 relatively affordable, physically accurate simulators in a shop sounds great, but doesn't it create a massive new headache with the data?
How so?
Well, racing teams have spent decades building custom telemetry software, proprietary suspension models. If these new SimCraft rigs can't talk to the tools the team is already using, they're essentially just incredibly expensive plastic toys.
Yeah.
How does SimCraft avoid that walled garden trap that tech companies love to build?
The proprietary lock-in is a massive friction point in this industry. You're right. OEM systems typically force race programs to use their specific mandated software, their proprietary data formats, and their restrictive service contracts.
Right.
If a team has a custom physics model they built in-house, an OEM often won't let them integrate it without massive fees and headaches.
It's the classic Apple ecosystem problem, but applied to a race shop where friction costs time, nobody asks.
Exactly. But SimCraft went the complete opposite route. They offer total software freedom.
Total freedom.
Total freedom. The Apex 6 GT works seamlessly with commercial off-the-shelf software like iRacing or Assetto Corsa, right alongside the highly custom proprietary engineering software a team uses to measure telemetry.
Oh, that's huge.
And furthermore, the physical hardware, the specific steering wheel, the button boxes, the exact pedal stiffness that the driver already knows by touch that carries straight over and plugs right in.
So a chief mechanic doesn't have to throw away 5 years of custom setup data just because they bought new hardware. It adapts to the team rather than forcing the team to adapt to the machine.
Yes. And the source highlights that because SimCraft handles white glove installation directly at the race shop, the system is completely dialed in before anyone even sits down.
No IT headaches.
Right. The very first session is a working session, not a frustrating multi-day headache where engineers are just trying to calibrate software.
Which means it instantly slots into their existing weekly rhythm. And reading through the breakdown, they describe the simulator performing four distinct jobs in the shop every single week. It's not just a toy for the driver to play on.
No, it becomes a program-wide asset.
Walk us through those four jobs.
The first job is driver development. Building pure car control and pushing limits in a true center of mass environment where, you know, mistakes don't cost carbon fiber.
Very true.
The second job is preparation. A driver can memorize every braking marker, every bump, and every curbing detail of a track layout before the hauler even leaves the shop.
Okay, so that covers the driver. But what about the engineering side?
Well, the third job is purely for the engineers. Validating setup directions. Because the motion isn't smeared, the telemetry output isn't smeared either.
Okay, that makes sense.
An engineer can say, hey, let's increase the rear camber by half a degree, plug it into the sim, and actually trust the data that comes out. They can validate the math physically.
Which means they arrive at the track with a car that is already like 90% dialed in.
Precisely.
And the fourth job is recovery.
Yeah. Right?
Yes, recovery and maintenance. Keeping the talent sharp between actual race weekends, rehearsing highly specific high-stress scenarios like cold tire restarts, or defending a lead with degraded rear grip so they don't get rusty during a three-week gap in the schedule.
Okay, so the physics are flawless, the financial math makes total sense, and the software integration is open and adaptable. But it's one thing to read a spec sheet, right? It's another to bet a multi-million dollar season on it. Who is actually taking the risk of abandoning the industry standard to stake their professional livelihood on this technology?
Well, Able Motorsports is a prime example highlighted in the source material.
Okay.
They are a serious, highly competitive program in the INDY NXT series. They evaluated all the legacy options, saw the exact flaws we've been discussing, and made the calculated decision to place the SimCraft Apex 6 GT squarely at the center of their 2026 racing program.
Yeah, I actually want to read a direct quote from John Brenner here. He's the team principal at Able Motorsports.
Right.
He says, quote, as we continue to grow in Indy NXT, having a true driver-in-the-loop platform of this caliber lets us sharpen driver training, accelerate setup development, and give our engineers and chief mechanic a repeatable environment to work problems before we ever get to the track, end quote.
That is a massive testament to the trust they're placing in the hardware. And they aren't the only ones, by the way.
Oh, really?
The text points out that the Apex 6 GT is also an approved NASCAR simulator for Cup Series teams. It meets the incredibly rigorous standards demanded across both NASCAR and IMSA competition.
Wow.
Sanctioning approval at that level requires proving absolute data fidelity.
Which really brings up an interesting shift in team dynamics, if you think about it.
Yeah.
If everyone in the building, from the driver turning the wheel to the data analyst looking at the telemetry, is using the exact same physics-perfect system, how does that change the culture of the Monday morning debrief?
This raises an important question, actually. It fundamentally transforms how a team communicates.
How so?
Well, think about the historical disconnect in racing. A driver feels something weird mid-corner on the track, comes into the pits, and tries to verbally describe a vibration or a handling quirk to an engineer.
Like the car feels loose.
Right, but the engineer is looking purely at a spreadsheet of squiggly lines. So much nuance gets lost in translation. But when the driver and the engineer are working on the exact same highly repeatable SimCraft platform during the week, they finally start speaking the exact same language.
Because the engineer can literally just say, drive that lap again, and watch the data happen in real time, matching it perfectly to the driver's exact physical input.
Exactly. Hmm. Setup direction stops being a guessing game based on subjective feelings, and it becomes a collaborative, data-driven certainty.
So what does this all mean? For you listening, this deep dive is such a phenomenal masterclass in why you can't just throw mountains of cash at a complex problem and expect a perfect solution.
Very true.
If the foundational logic in this case, trying to make a hexapod flight simulator act like a race car, is fundamentally flawed, millions of dollars will only buy you a very polished, very expensive mistake.
A smeared mistake.
Exactly, a smeared mistake. Sometimes the most ruthlessly efficient dollar a professional can spend is the one that flawlessly mimics reality, without the bloated factory price tag. It's about that quiet advantage, you know? The countless invisible hours banked in the shop that nobody in the grandstands ever sees.
Right.
It's those hidden repetitions that ultimately show up on the timing screens on race day.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And as we wrap up our analysis of this incredible shift in the motorsport industry, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over on your own.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are currently seeing technology like the Apex 6 GT allow elite professional teams to decentralize their training, right?
Yeah.
They are moving away from giant million-dollar factory facilities to relatively affordable physics-perfect rigs right in their own local shops. But consider what happens when this exact technology trickles down even further.
Trickles down? What do you mean?
Could we see a near future where a teenager with this exact SimCraft setup in their home garage someday bypasses the incredibly expensive traditional karting ladder entirely? Could a kid step straight out of their bedroom and directly into a professional race car, already possessing the exact flawless muscle memory needed to win against veterans?
Man, it gives me absolute chills just thinking about it. Because suddenly, finding those few hundredths of a second to secure pole position on the starting grid, it might not happen on the asphalt at all.
No.
It might happen right in your own living room.